Like 10 or 15 years after the Civil War, they were finding people who had no idea that the Civil War was over. They were living in a united country and didn't know it. They were living in a great country and they didn't even know it. We're living in the greatest days the world has ever seen. The third great awakening is happening. It started already. It is the kingdom of God is spreading throughout the earth. But if you're not looking for it, you won't see it. How do you get informed? It's right here. This is up to date. This is more up to date than the news, they're not even up to date. They're so tangled up in their own lives, they don't even know what's real anyhow. Which is one of the marks of the times that we're living in. The deception. See that no man deceive you, Jesus said. That's the first thing he said to the in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 3, where they said, what are the signs of the end of the age and the sign of your coming? And he said, see that no man deceive you. Deception. We've got deception everywhere. So, and we talked about that during our part one of this series, which was talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. It has been here. Really in operation since the Abrahamic covenant. And it has been growing and growing and growing. It has been able to topple governments. It has been able to topple kingdoms. The Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, and the Roman kingdom. One rock, Jesus Christ, aimed at those feet, toppled the whole thing, ground them to powder, and blew them away. Oh, his kingdom will stand, and all it needs is one rock, one word. One person to take a stand. Gosh, we need somebody to take a stand these days. Thank God for the few that are in Congress now that are taking a stand. Thank God for them. Pray for them. They need your prayers. Praise God. We're living in the greatest days the world has ever seen. Why don't you open your Bibles? And when we open the Bibles, when we open God's Word, we are opening really to His heart. We're looking into his songs. It says he sings songs of deliverance over you. We're looking into his songs. We're looking into his truths, his mercies, his grace, his judgments, his love, his power. It's all in his word. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. How many of you get up and start saying that every day before you open your Bible? Anybody? You should, because it'll open up your, just words like this will open up your mind and make you receptive to the Holy Spirit. Whew, I have a lot to cover today. You know, in part one, we talked about the kingdom of God. Part two, we talked about being prepared for opposition. You know, when you do take a stand, you're going to be opposed in this world. This is a fallen world. There is a God of this world who is arrayed against you. We don't have to be afraid of him. He's already been defeated. Jesus ripped his fangs out. He ripped his claws out. He has no more authority. He has, you know, these movies that make out the devil like this big thing? He's not. He's a whimpering little bag of goo. When it says in Isaiah, when we see him on that day, it says we will narrowly, is this the man? Who caused the nations? Is that him? Is that him? No. His only line of attack now is deception. To get you deceived, to believe the wrong things about yourself, about God, about other people, about what the value systems that you need to think. He deceives you in everything. That's his path. And if he can get you to turn against yourself, he's won. You're just running with it. And you become your own worst enemy. you are going to be opposed. So one of the weapons that we have in our arsenal is something called the belt of truth. It's a weapon. Truth is a weapon. It puts handcuffs on the devil, and it takes the fetters and chains off of you. That's what truth does. It's a two-edged sword. And you're holding it. You decide where that sword is going to go. You need to be trained in the truth. You need to be trained in the truth. Last week we talked about the opposition that Daniel faced. And Daniel faced a lot of opposition all the time that he was prime minister, basically, of Babylon. He had people against him, people who were envious of his position. They tried to undermine him. But he always ended on top, and they always ended up getting their bones broke in the lion's den. Oh, God will put you on top. But this one time we looked at when Daniel faced a godless pagan king. Listen to this. He held the power of life and death over the heads of the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans in Babylon. And unless they came up with something, the king was going to have them executed. He said, I want you to tell me the dream that I had, and I want you to tell me its interpretation. They couldn't do it. Daniel got wind of it. This king was desperate. Have you ever been really desperate for the truth? Lord, I need to know what's going on with my husband. I need to know what's going on with my wife. I need to know what's going on in my kid's life. I need to know what's going on with the economy. Should I buy a freezer and get food, store it up? What do I do here? I need the truth. I need to know that. If God will answer, he will show something. If he will speak to a godless, pagan, self-centered, evil king like Nebuchadnezzar, don't you think he'll talk to you? Amen. Don't you think he'll give you dreams, visions, that he will give you those promptings and nudges at certain times? Are you expecting it? Because if you're not expecting it, you'll miss it. Are you expecting him to lead you and guide you? You got to expect it. You've got to be prepared and ready for it. Boy, you can't say too much about being prepared. How many of you read the Word of the Week this week? One, two, buckle my shoe. Well, you got to be informed about these things. You got to be prepared for these things. You need to be prepared. Prepared for opposition. Why? Because when you're prepared, the devil doesn't want to come near you. Believe me, he doesn't. He'll try, but God will always give you a strategy. I remember one time we talked about this. I think we were in the multipurpose room at this time when we were meeting over at over Liberty. But 2 Samuel, chapter 5, when David had become king and the Philistines heard about it, they came after it. They were going to defeat David. They hated David because David killed their champion and his brothers. He killed Goliath of Gath, the Philistine. And David said to the Lord, should I go up after him? Lord, will I defeat him? He said, yeah, you go. You go and you defeat him. And they defeated him. Well, they came back a second time, and he inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, should I go and defeat him? He said, don't go. Wait. Go around them to the other side of the tree grove, the mulberry tree grove. And when you hear marching above the trees, then attack. God was sending forces of angels. He comes up with if you're prepared to hear the voice of God and to do what he says to do, he will show you the strategy and you will beat the devil every single time, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world, the devil, and the flesh. Where are we here? You believe God will speak to you, that he'll lead you? You know, here's the thing. Do you remember when Jesus got off of the boat, he went into the land of the Gadarenes, and this demon-possessed guy came running up to him? And the demons out said, we know who you are, O Jesus, thou Son of God. Don't cast us into the pit before the time. He said, who are you? And he said, Legion, for we are many. And he just looked at them. And they started crying. And they started saying, "Lord, if you cast us out of here, let us go into those swine." You know, if the demons would just soon go into the swine, why would you entertain them in your... Anyhow, "Let us go into the swine." And he said, "Go." Now, if Jesus answers the prayers of demons, don't you think he's going to answer your prayer too? How about it? Come on, get up. Get, when you get into your prayer closet or wherever you go to pray, I usually on my couch, just enjoying God. And just get up and start praying and say, "Lord, you did it for them, you do it for me." His testimonies are full in the Word of God. The Word of God is full of his testimonies. Look, get up. Get that prayer work and get your faith behind it. Start taking God at his word. Not what you think his word says, but what his word says.
Amen.
Oh, you know what? I don't think we have any idea how much clout we have with God. I don't think that has really settled into our heart, how much clout you have. And a good revelation of the blood will get you there. And it will realize that that clout that you have with God really has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what Jesus did for you, what he has cleansed you of, where he has brought you to, what he has wiped out and elevated you as a new creation to sit with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. I'll tell you what, a good picture of this is when Nebuchadnezzar heard the words of Daniel. I'm telling you something, revealed truth. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the greatest empire that was in the world at the time. He's an emperor. He's a king. What he says goes. Life and death is in his hands to give or to take or withhold, whatever. All judgment is his. And it says when he heard Daniel's words, he fell on his face and worshiped him, commanded that offerings be made for them, gave him gifts, and elevated him to the highest position in Babylon, second only to Nebuchadnezzar. He ruled, and then he brought Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego with him, and they ruled the whole province and everything, but he sat in the king's gate. Now, when Jesus is revealed to you, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, guess what happens? You are raised up together with him to be seated with him far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named. God, this is what God thinks about you. This is how you go to God in prayer, knowing that you are above, you are in Christ, even if you're the little toe. You are far above all principalities and powers, and you are honored by God in his throne room. It says, "Come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." This is how we approach God. Not like, "Oh, I don't deserve this." No, you don't. None of us do. But he deserves your faith in what he did for you that elevated you to where you are, and you can stand in it and be confident in it. And you can give thanks to God, and that is a weapon that shows the devil exactly what you believe. And it shows God your heart towards him.
Amen.
He won't withhold anything from you. Nothing will he withhold from you. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't trust the Magi and their tricks. You'd be good to follow that advice too, because the Magi had nothing really good. They were just pushing for political power. That's all they were doing. That's what the world is doing now. Who's behind that? The God of this world? That image that Nebuchadnezzar, that froze him with fear, that kept him sleepless at nights, that worried him so much that he got so desperate that he was going to start killing people unless he found out, and he was going to beat the bushes and everything else until he found out what the thing was. Have you ever been that desperate? Well, if you are, you can go to God.
Amen.
You can go to God, and he will hear your prayer. He will answer your prayer. He loves you. He paid for the right to answer your prayer. He paid for the right to be your high priest. He paid for the right to forgive you. He paid for the right to lavish his grace upon you without compromising his own sense of righteousness. It's all just, even though you don't deserve it. Justice was settled at the cross.
Amen.
So now he is free to release his love and lavish it upon you. Are you getting anything out of this today? Because I'm ready to start floating here. Kingdom weapons we're talking about today. Kingdom weapons. Say this. I have a weapon.
I have a weapon.
In my mouth.
In my mouth.
My words
are weapons.
They cannot be defeated.
They
will stand forever. Because I speak
God's word.
And his word will never depart. It'll never fail. They will never fail. They will stand forever. Praise God. Well, we need to understand something about the weapons of our warfare. You know, this picture of Daniel being lifted up high, representing how high we are when we walk in revealed truth and start declaring it. That was Old Covenant. That was the Old Testament. And people used to look out here for prophets and things like that. That was Old Testament because nobody had the Holy Spirit under the Old Covenant. Nobody could have the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit was given after Jesus paid the price for us. After we were cleansed our sin, now we can come and receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Well, look. You have the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that's what recreated your human spirit. Your spirit man is a product of the living Word of God and the breath of the Spirit on it. And with that came many, many, many things. You have inward parts in your spirit, just like you do in your body. And those inward parts is what makes you move in the kingdom of God. You have weapons that the devil must bow to. But the devil doesn't want you to believe that. See, this is only as good as what you believe. According to your faith. That's what Jesus kept on saying. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Even though the story of Daniel and many other stories, like Joseph too, inspire us and everything, but we've got to realize something. They didn't have the same covenant that you have. And even though those are amazing stories, anybody could have done that given those circumstances back then, but it all came from out here. Now, the kingdom of God, Jesus said this in Luke 21, I think it is, that the kingdom of God is within you. Or Luke 17, let's see, Luke 17, 21. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Say that. The kingdom of God is in me. Turn to Philemon chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Philemon, by the way. So we say, turn to Philemon 6. Philemon, verse 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. A good thing is a good thing. What we need to know is that these things, that these every good things, we need to acknowledge them. We're not waiting for things to happen. We're not waiting for God to do things. Right? That's not the New Testament. That's religion. Well, you know, if God wills it to be, it will be. No, that's Islam. Islam says, if Allah wills it to be, it will be. Christianity says, no, he's already done everything. I'm going to walk in truth. And as I walk in truth, I'll get freer and freer and more provided for, and I can become everything that he wants just by walking in truth, because it's already done. That the communication, this word communication means, well, it means several things. It's the word koinonia. It means partnership. You know, when Jesus preached from the boat, it says that Peter get his partners to help him with that load of fish that they got. It's the same word, koinonia. It means partnership. It means social intercourse. It means close, intimate relationship with people. It means to distribute or to fellowship with. So your partnership, your social intercourse, and your distribution of the truth, so you take it in and you give it out, your participation with of your faith, the communication of your faith, that participation, partnershiping with God through faith, becomes effective. And that word effective is a good word too. It's the word energeo or energase. It's the same word. It means power. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful." It's the same word, energeo. And this is how energeo that word is, how powerful that word is. That word created the entire universe. And the word of God, when we fellowship in the word of God, when we participate and partner with the word of God, our faith becomes energized and activated when we understand, when we acknowledge those good things that are in us. We have a lot of good things in us. Those good things that are in us, the word effective. Now, the word acknowledge, let's see, I don't. But that had, it means to, acknowledge means to press in, it means to discern. There's a discovery about it, but when you learn about the good things that are already in you in Christ, you won't be waiting for God to do stuff that he's already done. You won't be asking him for things that he's already given. You won't be plundering heaven. You know, we used to, back in the charismatic days, say, "I'm going to storm the gates of heaven." Why would you do that? You know, if the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, but, you know, that means if the throne of God is in the very center of that New Jerusalem, if you're banging on the gates, that puts you at least 750 miles away from the throne of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain," not hang around till you get it, "but obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." You come, "Lord, this is my need. I confess that your word says that this is covered. Thank you." And you will find grace to help in time of need. Because when you say that, angels are assigned. You know, ooh, the cuds. And there's no, are you getting something out of this? Oh, peramokruhadi shnai. Woo-hoo. Now, one thing I want to talk about here today is in Ephesians 6, having your having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, you guys are making me make mistakes. Wait till he calls you to preach. Oh, we're family. That the having your feet shod with the, you know, we talk about the shoes of peace, but we very often forget about a big word in here. It's called preparation. The preparation of the gospel. You know, the gospel is not a club to knock people over the head with. It's not to stand outside of abortion clinics and say, "You're a murderer." It's not to accuse. It's to liberate the world. The gospel of peace saying, look, the peace of God has been given through Jesus. Isn't that what Peter said in Acts chapter 10? How God preached peace through Jesus Christ. Yes. Reconciliation, that's God's plan. Not a club over the head. To prepare. You know, it says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. Not the ones who are going to accuse and do all of this stuff. Well, you know what? That's all they know how to do. They're doing something. They're doing what they know how to do, but it's wrong. Paul thought he was doing God a favor when he was killing Christians. And it doesn't produce fruit. We've got to walk by revelation of the truth and not by some rote of religion. Religion is dead. God is alive. God's kingdom operates through us. The kingdom of God is in you, Jesus said. And in fact, when you were born again, it says that you were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You are in the kingdom. The kingdom is in you. There's no difference between the two. You are what God says you are. You have what God says you have. You can do what he says you can do. And you are seated where he says you are seated. We need to come to the throne of God, and with all of that in place, prepare your mind, prepare yourself on how you will answer. Prepare. You know, Rudy Giuliani wrote a book on leadership that he had all these principles in place when he was mayor, and he never published the book because he got busy with 9/11 in 2021. But he had all of those principles. And here's the eighth principle of his leadership was prepare relentlessly. Don't take anything for granted. Nothing. Prepare relentlessly. All of the government agencies in New York, all of those things, he got a system of order in that just didn't just help them function right, but united them. And all that was in place, and the world gave accolades to Rudy Giuliani for the leadership that he got to face New York's darkest hour. Well, it's getting pretty dark there now, too. Darkest hour, and that attack from Islamic terrorists that feel that nobody else has the right to live unless they believe the way they believe. That's wrong. God created everybody. And nobody has the right to take another life of another person simply because they don't believe that way. God is a God of love. Mm. And until somebody leaves this, he will never change. He loves you, and he will not quit on you until you leave this earth. And then he will honor your choice forever. If you choose to reject him, You can have that wish for eternity. But if you choose to know him and to receive him, you have him for eternity. Amen. Amen. Weapons of our warfare. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I didn't know what Corinthians meant. I didn't know what anything meant. These are letters to different churches that he established. This was written to the church at Corinth in Greece. You think you got problems? Corinth had major problems here. And he wrote to them and said in verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh or according to the limitations of the flesh, is what he's saying. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a big hunk of words right there. We all walk in the flesh, right? But we don't war after the flesh. Jesus said this, the flesh profits nothing. What we do out of our flesh, about reacting out of our natural mind to hit back, what we do, it produces nothing. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. Right? You have the word of God that is mightier than the forces that cause war. We do not war after the flesh. We have the weapons of praise. 2 Chronicles 20 gives a really graphic picture of this. How many of you are familiar with that story? 2 Chronicles 20, where King Jehoshaphat, good king of Israel, of Judah. And he was good, and he worked the word of God, and he was a righteous king, and God gave them gold and silver and blessed them financially. Well, these three countries, children of Mount Seir and others, they wanted that gold. And they thought they'd come after Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat didn't have a big army. They were too busy worshiping God, just being prosperous and fruitful. But they found out that these armies were mounted against and ready to attack them. And he called everybody in. Jehoshaphat called everybody in to pray together, and they prayed and fasted and said, "Lord, what do we do? Our eyes are on you." And somebody stood up. It was a young man who prophesied. He said, "The battle is not yours. The battle is mine, says the Lord." So what Jehoshaphat did is he appointed singers. Now, you gotta look at this. Here they are going into war against the country. And to lead them all, he's going with prayer. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever." And they're just singing and hallelujah. They've heard from God. They have a kick in their step. They have pep in their step. And they're just praising God and going around. And it says God set an ambush against them who are arrayed against his people. And what they didn't understand what was going on. These armies were so confused. You know, confusion? God sent confusion to Babylon. Remember the Tower of Babel? And they couldn't understand each other? And they started to get, they became confused. And you know what happened? Those three armies, they started killing each other. And by the time Jehoshaphat and the guys came there, all the armies were dead. They defeated themselves. The devil is so divided. Have you ever wondered why he can't get anything done? I mean, look, if he is the God of this world, why hasn't he completely destroyed it and killed everybody? I mean, he's a thief, a murderer, and everything else. Why hasn't he been able to do all those things? Well, because he's divided. His kingdom is divided. And Jesus called it, says, "Man, the kingdom is divided against itself." Do you ever wonder that rock, when King Nebuchadnezzar had that dream and that rock came out of that mountain, and they threw it where? At the feet of that image. That image was... it was the body of Satan in this world with the worldly kingdoms and everything else. And his feet were made of iron and clay, totally divided, couldn't get together. It was weak, it was strong. It was fragile, it was in parts, it was strong in parts, but it was totally divided. And when it hit that feet, it crumbled and fell to the ground. And then it ground it to powder, and the winds of time just blew it away like it had never been. When you start speaking the word and those rocks, that sword comes out of your mouth, the sword of truth, it is a weapon that the devil doesn't... he knows what it feels like to be crumbled. He knows what it's like to have all of his kingdoms fall to the earth and be nothing. He knows what it's like to have one guy, Jesus, a little defenseless baby. He couldn't even find him for 2 years. That's why the devil hates those. He hates those, what do you call those nativity scenes? He hates that because it points to one of his stupidest hours that it revealed him as somebody who really doesn't know what's going on. Because by the time the Magi got there, Jesus was already 2 years old. Because it says the star led them over to the young child, not the babe. The shepherd saw the babe. But 2 years. He couldn't even find him for 2 years. And then he found out from the wise men what time the star appeared. And they said, 2 years. So from that time, he had all the babies 2 years old and under killed in Bethlehem. That's why he hates. But look, you have one word in your mouth that can go right to his feet, right to the root of the problems in your life. And you can start speaking to them and uprooting them and say, no, no, sickness is not mine. Healing belongs to me. Jesus paid for it with his stripes. It's a covenant reality in me. And in the name of Jesus, I enforce that with the words of my mouth now. I believe it in my heart and I say it with my... You know, my brother, when he was witnessing to me, he was telling me about Jesus and why he was a Christian. He never told me about these weapons. He never told me I needed them. He didn't even tell me I was in a... All he told me about was Jesus. And I came to Jesus. Now... Listen, Daniel's words were powerful to the king. It released power to have an emperor fall on his face before Daniel. And Daniel, who was he? He was a captive. He was a Hebrew captive who they turned into a eunuch. Why? Because the king had a harem. I mean, you can put all this stuff together if you know history. And Daniel and his brothers, now they were made eunuchs to serve the harem. The prince of the eunuchs led them. Well, anyhow, here's Daniel. He's a captive from a conquered country. He's a slave. He's nothing more than nothing the king really needs to look at. And yet, that king fell on his face before Daniel and elevated him. I'm telling you something, there's power in your mouth that you haven't really, that you, the devil has taught you to work against yourself. He needs your tongue in order to succeed in your mouth. He needs your words against you to say, I'm nothing but a failure. I'm nothing but a... I guess that'll just happen to me because, you know, the way it is with me. No, it's a new day. It's a new day. And you capture those thoughts and bring them into the obedience of the anointing and let that anointing fill your words. And when your words go forth, they are words of faith, and the devil has no defense for faith. Praise is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. When Daniel and his friends prayed, they got business done. When we prayed here Friday night, I'm telling you something, we got business done here. There was an anointing on the prayers that were prayed. We got business done. And we can walk, now we can walk as if everything we prayed for has been answered. That's the way God is. The word of God is a weapon. Jesus used the word of God to defeat the devil in the wilderness. That's good enough for me right there. Did you know the peace of God is a weapon? The peace of God calmed that storm on the Sea of Galilee that day when Jesus said, peace, be still. He released a power that was in him, the same power that's in you when he said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. He gave you his very own peace, and you can speak peace to those situations. And as you learn to do it, and you learn to do it, and you discipline yourself, and you prepare yourself in the roads with the gospel of peace, and you start speaking peace to these things, and you become more highly developed and highly developed, you release your faith, all of a sudden that faith just fills your peace. And it starts calming those storms. And the results come faster and faster and faster and faster. Until you're just like Jesus in that boat. Say, peace! Be still. That's where Freddie Frank Bosworth was. 9 times crossing the Atlantic Ocean, F.F. Bosworth calmed storms. Spoke to him immediately. You don't have to be... In fact, Jesus did these things as our example. Until... He went to the cross, and then he became our substitute. Peace of God is a weapon. Truth is a weapon. It just doesn't hold you all together. Truth is a weapon. When my brother started speaking the word of God to me, there was a power in that I didn't understand. I didn't even know it was a power. It's just that it was kicking my defenses out from under me. And it was truth. To me, and it was there was a power in it that made me want what he had. That truth was a weapon, and it was kicking out all of my defenses and making me fall right in the arms of God and say, he's my Lord too. And when I said that, according to Romans 10, verses 9, 8 and 9 and 10, that I believe in my heart and say it with my mouth, you're saved. That's when I was born again. I became a new creation. Why? Because there was a power released in his words. There was a power of truth that came. Truth is a weapon. You know, you get a little kid standing up. Let's say this little kid saw a crime. And now the trial comes. And this 10-year-old kid who was selling newspapers on the corner says, yeah, I saw that guy. Yeah, he had a knife. And he hit this guy with the knife and stabbed him to death. What are you going to do with that? You can't argue against that. This little kid, he's telling you what he saw. Well, we're witnesses too. We are witnesses, and the Holy Spirit empowered us. It says right there, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be what? My witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. My witnesses. You are empowered to be his witness. How? Because the Holy Spirit is real in you. Because the Holy Spirit shows that Jesus is alive in you. And when you speak, there's power in your words. You have something that the world needs, and they're going to see it. Our weapons are not against people. Our weapons are to annihilate the forces that blind them, that deceive them, that make them act out and make them get involved in all kinds of sin and crud that they don't need in their life. He has blinded their minds. And when we speak truth, the blinders come off. The blinders come off. And it starts breaking the handcuffs and fetters off of people. Revelation knowledge, huge key of the kingdom. Peter said, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, and I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are those keys? The keys are the keys that unlock the power to kick in the gates of hell. Where are the gates of hell? They are the gates that close off people's minds to the truth, that blinds people to the truth, that keeps them in their own little world, and they're happy there, and they don't want to move, and they're not open. Well, the truth comes along and kicks in those gates. Why? Because it's revealed knowledge. And when you come to somebody and say, you know what? I remember one time we got a word of knowledge. This couple came to Nick and I, and we were practicing our guitars, and these people just came over. And in another church in Bridgeport, and they said, well, God revealed to us that the reason for her line of thinking was due to this car accident that she had like 2 years prior to that. And when we told her that, I mean, Nick and I just kind of looked at each other. And we knew what God was saying. It just happened, and there was a grin. If you say, well, you were in a car wreck 2 years ago, and da-da-da-da-da. Now you thought God did that to you to teach you something, and that's why you twisted this whole thing out of control. No, that was an attack of the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Revelation knowledge gives you keys to kick in the gates of hell. Revelation knowledge. It is a huge weapon. Did you know the gospel itself is a weapon? It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Oh, people, when they understand what righteousness is, it's not some standard they have to live up to, that God has already made them right and given them right standing with him if they accept Jesus. It's a weapon. And it disarms the devil. All it does is make Jesus glad and the devil mad. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Ah! Blue skies coming my way. Oh. Oh, I'm looking at you and some of you look sad. Some of you look glad. So I'm getting somewhere. I thought that phone joke was a pretty good one myself. But that's how we need to understand something, that he is always there. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the ever-present God, the one who is there. Whether we're in the valley or on the mountain, whether we are at the table, he's with us all the time. Praise God. You know, another weapon is the ministry of reconciliation. It takes it out of the devil's hands and puts it right back into God's hands. And he breathes peace and reconciliation. And he shows people how stupid their arguments are and how ridiculous it is for them not to forgive. How ridiculous for them to hold themselves in resentment for other people and bitterness and let that thing go. No. They see the futility of their flight through the ministry of reconciliation. First, reconciled to God, but it has many other facets too. There are people who can sit down with couples and solve all their marriage problems through the ministry of reconciliation and their kids. And it's good stuff. Jesus is in, he is in everything. And he has nothing but good for you. Praise God. Thanks, Father. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you're such a good God to us, that you have all of these things in place, that all we need to do is call on you, and you will hear us and show us great and mighty things that we know not, that your truth is eternal. It is revelation that continues to unfold to us. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to work in our lives, that you have taken us and not just given us a bunch of stuff to do, but you have transformed us and recreated us to walk with you, to be that wineskin that holds the new wine, that doesn't burst out, that contains the life of God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we'll just take these weapons and we will use them. We'll learn how to be skillful in them because they reveal the enemy's strategies, and we will be one step ahead of him from this point on. In Jesus' name. Thank you. You are dismissed. Don't forget, there's no...